Prime Minister Rabin, Chairman Arafat, Your Majesty King Hussein, President Mubarak, Foreign Minister Perez, Mr. Abu Mazen, Prime Ministers Gonzalez, Falali, Bin Shaker, Foreign Minister Kozarev, our co-sponsor of the Middle East peace negotiations, distinguished foreign ministers and members of the diplomatic corps and honored guests. I welcome you to the White House for this milestone on the path to reconciliation. Today we make a great stride toward the fulfillment of a vision, toward the day when two peoples divided by generations by conflict are bound now by peace. Finally, the time is approaching when there will be safety in Israel's house, when the Palestinian people will write their own destiny, when the clash of arms will be banished from God's holy land. 2 years ago, on another brilliant September day here at the White House, two men reached across one of history's widest chasms with a simple handshake. That moment is etched forever in our memory. With the eyes of the world upon you, Mr. Prime Minister, you declared your wish to live side by side with the Palestinian people in dignity, in empathy, as human beings, as free men. And you, Mr. Chairman, vowed to wage what you called the most difficult battle of our lives, the battle for peace. In the days of labor that have followed, you have both shown profound courage in bringing us to this moment, and you have kept your word. The enemies of peace have fought the tide of history with terror and violence. We grieve for their victims, and we renew our vow to redeem the sacrifice of those victims. We will defeat those who resort to terror, and we revere the determination of these leaders who chose peace, who rejected the old habits of hatred and revenge. Because they broke so bravely with the past, the bridges have multiplied, bridges of communication, of commerce, of understanding. Today, the landscape changes and the chasm narrows. The agreement that now will be signed means that Israel's mothers and fathers need no longer worry that their sons will face the dangers of patrolling Nablus or confronting the hostile streets of Ramallah. And it means that Palestinians will be able to decide for themselves what their schools teach, how their houses should be built, and who they will choose to govern. You, the children of Abraham, have made a peace worthy of your great forebear. Abraham, patriarch of both Arabs and Jews, sacrificed power for peace when he said to his nephew Lot, "Let there be no strife between thee and me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right." Patience and persistence, courage and sacrifice, these are the virtues then as now that set peacemakers apart. Mr. Prime Minister and Mr. Chairman, you are showing that it is not by weapons but by will and by word that dreams best become reality. Your achievement shines as an inspiration to others all around this world who seek to overcome their own conflicts and to secure for themselves the blessings of peace. Chapter by chapter, Jews and Arabs are writing a new history for their ancient lands. Camp David, the Declaration of Principles signed here 2 years ago, the peace of the Arava last year between Jordan and Israel. With each of these, the truth of this book has become clear to the world. As courageous leaders step beyond the bounds of convention, they build for their peoples a new world of hope and peace. Now, as this new chapter begins, it is fitting that we are joined by so many from the camp of peace. Egypt's President Mubarak has carried forth the commitment to peace that began with Anwar el-Sadat and the miracle at Camp David. Before there was a glimpse of a breakthrough, President Mubarak stood for reconciliation, and he added his strength, his personal strength, time and time again, in the days of the negotiations. Almost a year ago, on the border that had known only barbed wire and armed patrols, King Hussein and Prime Minister Rabin brought their nations together in peace. Already that border has been transformed, as have the lives of Israelis and Jordanians after 46 years as enemies. King Hussein stands as a rock on which peace can be built. In only a few weeks, he will host the economic summit in Amman that will bring together Israelis and Arabs from throughout the region, business and government leaders from throughout the world, to map the promise of tomorrow. Today, we are also joined by the largest group of Arab foreign ministers ever assembled to support the growth of peace. Prime Minister Falali of Morocco has traveled here to represent King Hassan, who has done so much to advance progress in the region. With us as well are representatives of nations that have provided vital support for peace, including the countries of the European Union, Japan, Canada, and of course, Norway, whose assistance 2 years ago opened the way to this moment. All those who doubt the spirit of peace should remember this day and this extraordinary array of leaders who have joined together to bring a new era of hope to the Middle East. The United States is proud to stand with all of them. Much remains to be done, but we will continue to walk each step of the way with those who work and risk for peace. We will press forward with our efforts until the circle of peace is closed, a circle which must include Syria and Lebanon, if peace is to be complete. We will not rest until Muslims and Jews can turn their backs to pray without any fear, until all the region's children can grow up untouched by conflict, until the shadow of violence is lifted from the land of light and gold. Thank you very much.